The elegant palaces and parks of the historic Prussian kingdom are a quick getaway from Berlin. We'll hear why the city of Potsdam is worth a visit in just a minute. Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Coming up, we'll also visit with historian Mary Beard. She's been exploring what life was really like for the rulers of the Roman Empire. Plus, I'll take you back to 1978 with me as we explore what it was like to be a fearless college graduate traveling with a high school buddy across Turkey, Afghanistan, and Iran on the infamous hippie trail to Kathmandu. The once royally important, now quaint and pretty town of Potsdam has long been Berlin's holiday retreat. And it's a worthwhile destination for any visitor to Germany's capital. It's about 15 miles southwest of Berlin, and it's easy to reach by train. Potsdam offers a mini Prussian history lesson in its ornate palaces and dressed-to-impress architecture. It's a fun-to-explore city center, and there's some fascinating Cold War sites. It's a small-town experience that packs a historical wallop. And to take us on a tour of Potsdam, I'm joined right now by Berlin-based guide Jim McDonough. Jim landed in Berlin from Minnesota as a college student and never left. I guess that makes him the ultimate student of German history. Jim, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
I love how you American students who love history visit Berlin and end up staying there. Tell us about your story and how you got into Berlin.
Right. Well, I studied history as an undergrad, and I received a full academic scholarship to go to Berlin for a year to finish my studies. And it was only supposed to be for a year. But then when I was completed, I didn't have anything planned right away back home. I was all graduated. And so I thought, well, what the heck, I'll stay in Berlin for a little bit longer. And 19 years later, I'm still there. And of course, a Fräulein has a little something to do with that as
There's always a Fräulein in the story, I guess. Okay. When we're going to Berlin, and you're a guide, and you're dealing with people all the time going to Berlin, you want to get a break from the big city.
Right.
And was Potsdam, it was accessible even during the Cold War because it was part of the West?
Right. It was entirely in East Germany, but its proximity to the American sector of West Berlin made it more accessible than the other East German cities. And
okay.
So people would go to West Berlin as tourists, and they would want to know about Potsdam, and they'd get their visa, they'd exchange their money, and they'd go to Potsdam and see its old royal past.
A lot of people do want this break from Berlin, and they hear the word Potsdam, and it's just a little overwhelming because, well, for one thing, when we sightsee, we're not looking at German sites, we're looking at Prussian sites, and we're looking at Bavarian sites and Franconian sites and this kind of thing, because there were all of these different little countries that had their own palaces, and this was part of Prussia, wasn't it? And the Hohenzollern family ruled Prussia, just like the Habsburgs ruled the Austro-Hungarian Empire or whatever. So you take the train from downtown Berlin, you go to the town of Potsdam. How's that experience, and what do you find in the town of Potsdam?
Well, it's very simple to get there. You can either take the S-Bahn right from downtown Berlin, that's the city train, and it'll take you a half hour to get there. It runs every 10 minutes. Or you can take the fast regional train and get down there in half the time, and that runs every two lines run twice every hour. And once you get there, you are in the old Prussian capital. And it's important to understand Potsdam's once place in the world. This was the residence of the House of Hohenzollern, as you said, and they ruled the mighty kingdom of Prussia all the way up until 1918. And you had nine kings who took turns transforming Potsdam into a representative royal city.
Wow.
That is to display grand architecture, build beautiful palaces, and to really remind visitors that when they enter Potsdam, they are entering the city of a king.
The greatest of those kings, I think, was Frederick the Great, wasn't he?
Without a doubt.
Tell us about why he's such a big personality.
Well, Frederick the Great's father was the so-called soldier king, and he spent his entire 27 years on the throne enhancing the Prussian army, turning it into the aristocracy of Prussian society. And he builds it into an elite fighting force. And so when his son, Frederick the Great, comes to the throne, he uses dad's army to bring large territorial gains to the kingdom and really turn the kingdom into a European powerhouse. This is the guy who fought off the Austrians, the French, and the Russians all at the same time. And so what he wanted to do was basically have grand symbols, grand palaces that would display Prussia's importance. And he did that in Potsdam.
And we got to remember, Prussia was a mighty might. It competed with much bigger countries because its emphasis was on strict militarism, strict duty to the country, all of this, aggressive, we're going to be strong in a very difficult reality. Berlin-based tour guide Jim McDonough is taking us to historic Potsdam right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Now, when we look at the palaces at Potsdam, it can be a little confusing for the visitor at first, but there's two main palaces, right? There's the Suite Sanssouci Palace, and then there's the Grand New Palace.
Correct.
Tell us what we're in for there.
What's nice about them as a visitor is that they're both in the same park, Parc Sanssouci. And so you basically go to that park, and there's not just these two palaces. There's also these other royal delights.
Little gazebos and fountains and places to kiss and so on.
Exactly. And the new palace, that was built right after the Seven Years' War. That's when Frederick the Great fought off the Austrians, the French, and the Russians all at the same time. And he built that basically for visitors. So if you can imagine this grand palace, and visitors, visiting monarchies, would go to Potsdam and they would turn up at this beautiful Baroque building, just enormous in size. And they would say, well, we're staying here. Well, where's the king going to stay if we get this place? And so where the king then stayed, where Frederick the Great, what he built was the Sanssouci Palace then on the other side of the park. And that was his beloved summer retreat.
Okay, and we should make it really clear. The new palace is massive. It's like 200 rooms. And Sanssouci, that would be the king's little elegant retreat. That was just like 6 or 8 rooms, right?
Well, it was about a dozen rooms, actually. Dozen rooms, but okay. It's this very modest one-story palace. And it was also designed in this Baroque style. It's called Frederican Rococo. So Rococo,
So modest in floor plan, but not modest in decor.
Exactly. And there's nothing really too impressive about it, about the palace itself. Now, it sits atop a hill with beautiful gardens, this Baroque garden. The idea was to emulate the gardens that you'd see at Versailles. But once you go inside, then you start to see Frederick the Great's taste and what he wanted as a residence. Beautifully designed rooms. You can go in today, you book in advance online, and it takes about 45 minutes to go through with the audio guide, and it is just a wonderful, wonderful treat.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking about Potsdam, which is the most elegant royal retreat, Versailles kind of palace experience that you can have as a quick side trip from Berlin. It's just 15 miles away, and the trains are leaving every few minutes. Our guide is Jim McDonough. So, Jim, we have all of this amazing Hohenzollern stuff, the royal family of the Prussian Empire, but we also have some World War II history and some communism history out at Potsdam also. Why, after World War II, did Potsdam get into the history books?
Potsdam was put on the world stage in the summer of 1945, and that is when the United States, the United Kingdom, and the Soviet Union, the leaders, the so-called Big Three, came together and met at Potsdam for 17 days to talk about the fate of post-World War II Europe and to really make decisions as to how to deal with the defeated Germany.
Wow. And you can actually visit and see the room where they sat and they reconstruct the excitement of that time?
Exactly. The idea was to hold the conference in Berlin, but Berlin was so horribly damaged that Potsdam offered an alternative. And it was the Cecilienhof Palace, the last palace that was built by the royal family. And the big great room there was used for the conference, where 13 plenary sessions took place. They have the big oak table that they brought in from Russia, especially for the conference itself. And you go in there today, and it is all set up. It all looks exactly how it looked back in the summer of 1945.
So who, again, were the great leaders at the table?
The great leaders of the time were Winston Churchill of Great Britain. He had Joseph Stalin of the Soviet Union, and he had President Truman then, who met for and represented the United States.
Churchill, Stalin, and Truman. 17 days?
17 days.
Holy cow. And we can go there, and it's quite a fascinating historic thing. Of course, that was in the immediate aftermath of World War II, and they were figuring out how they divvy up the spoils, I guess, and what do they do with their victory. And of course, a good part of Europe became a satellite zone of Russia, ruled essentially from Moscow. And in order to do that, they had to have a good, strong secret police.
Absolutely.
And you had to keep people down by having a good prison.
You did,
yes. So I wonder, was there a KGB prison nearby?
There certainly was. And that was all. Potsdam fell in the Soviet zone of occupation that then became communist East Germany. And so the Soviet zone of occupation, the KGB had their own prison just a stone's throw from the Cecilienhof Palace. And so political dissidents, anybody that they felt they needed to keep an eye on who could have been a threat would have been interned there at the prison.
So it's just a short walk from the Cecilienhof Palace, where the big convention was. You find this KGB memorial prison. And what I remember is you're walking through, got to remember, this is not old architecture. This is like a mid-20th century neighborhood. And you're walking down a nice residential street, what looks like ambassadors' houses or something around. And one of these houses, you go through the hedge, and suddenly you're in a Russian KGB prison.
And the building itself really sticks out like a sore thumb. You certainly know which building it is when you come up onto it. And yeah, they have the prison cells that are still intact. You get to go through, you read about the biographies of the people that were there. It was a horrible, horrible place where torture went on. But today, it's part of that national identity of Germany, of confronting its past. It's now a documentation center. We learn about this history today.
This is a beautiful, inspirational, admirable thing about Germany, considering its hard history, are these documentation centers dealing with concentration camps and prisons and all of this dark recent past of theirs. And it's a powerful site. And of course, when you have all of this intrigue going on with the KGB and everything, you've got espionage. If you're a good movie producer like Steven Spielberg, you know, you can maybe cash in on the whole romance of that or the whole excitement of that, the drama of that, and make a movie 10 years ago called The Bridge of Spies.
That's right. Yes, that was where the famous spy swaps took place then back during the Cold War. It was the bridge that was the only place and the opening in the wall where the Soviets basically controlled their side. East German guards were everywhere else. And so it was so remote, it was off limits to the public. And so when those spy swaps took place, that was the hot spot where that happened.
And Jim, I was so caught up in the excitement of that. I was on that bridge with my local guide, envisioning it. And then all of a sudden, my attention was stolen by a raft that was going under the bridge. And it was a party raft. They were looking like they're having so much fun. What was I seeing there with that raft?
Well, it's be the equivalent of what we would call, I guess, a pontoon boat. And you can rent these. They come with a grill. They come with a little refrigerator where you can keep drinks in. And you basically go through the Havel River and to the lakes. And, you know, you have to remember that the royal family was so interested in making this their residence, a lot of that due to the recreational opportunities, especially during the summer months. And now all these years later, we get to enjoy those same attractions that initially drew them to Potsdam.
What a great way to round out a visit to Potsdam. Jim McDonough, thanks so much for clarifying for me and for all of our listeners how Potsdam can be a wonderful day trip from Berlin. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Rick.
Zu Potsdam unter den Eichen.
Have you thought about the Roman Empire lately? Distinguished history expert Mary Beard takes us into the everyday life of a Roman emperor next. And in just a bit, we'll relive the dusty hippie trail to Kathmandu of the 1970s. It's Travel with Rick Steves.